I want to talk to you today about the Father's protection over our lives. And aren't you glad God protects us? Amen. He protects. Yeah, there are ways God has protected me I won't even know until I get to heaven. I will not know until I get to heaven. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this Father's Day. I thank you for every father. I thank you for every home represented. I thank you, Lord God, that you came to bless us, to change us, to transform us, to help us, to empower us, to protect us, to save us, heal us. Bless this service today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Psalm 112, it says this, "Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. And in the end, they will look in triumph over their foes." He's talking about those who are faithful to God. He's talking about those who've put God first in their lives, like Jesus told us to do, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things are going to be added unto you. And one of the promises to those who follow God is their hearts are secure, they have no fear, and the end, their enemies are not going to triumph over them. That's a good sermon, isn't it? That's what God the Father does for us. In Psalm 119, verse 16, it says this, "Sustain me, my God, according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed." I love that. Listen, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when things didn't turn out the way I thought they were going to turn out, only to turn out better than what I thought they were going to turn out. And it's just amazing. Now, in the midst of that turn, in the midst of that change, in the midst of that situation, I wasn't happy. I was disappointed. I didn't quite understand. I couldn't figure out why someone would be treating me that way. I couldn't understand why something like that was going to happen. But in the end, God turned it around and gave me something better than what I thought I was pursuing. God is good that way. He knows how to help us keep hope alive. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 13, it's probably a familiar scripture to you. "I can do all of this through him who gives me strength." Aren't you glad God gives us strength? Aren't you glad we can do all things through him who strengthens us? He's faithful that way. He's a good protector. We have a gentleman in our church, Father's Day 2000. Rob, come on up here. Father's Day 2005 was one of those days that probably surprised him in a lot of ways. And I wanted you to hear just a snippet of his story on this Father's Day.
Thank you, brother.
Let's see if someone turned that off. Nope. Maybe it's on now.
Okay. Well, happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there.
Hang on. Yeah. Is it on now?
No.
Testing. One.
So I'm internally grateful to be able to share with you today what happened to me on Father's Day in 2005. I went to church and then I drove to the hospital. I was checked in to start treatment for acute myelogenous leukemia. And I have to tell you that that was a shock, as 3 days earlier on June 16th was my diagnosis, and my wife had just left the hospital. She was there all night. She was driving back, and she came to my hospital room, and she crawled in bed with me. We hugged each other and just wept, because I thought, well, I guess this is what God has for me right now. We were heading to Berlin on a missions trip 5 days later, and we had to cancel that trip, which was a good thing. But what I'm internally grateful about is is to the Lord Jesus Christ, who I'm just absolutely amazed at how much he loves us. Just amazed. When you think about the fact that he created the heavens and the earth, all that is here was created by him, for him, and through him. And think about, he cares enough about us to bring healing. You know, there's 400 billion galaxies and 250 billion stars just in our galaxy. Think about that for a minute. Actually, that's wrong. There's 10 billion galaxies and 250 billion stars in each galaxy. And the God of gods, the Lord of lords, thinks enough of us to heal us. So the Christian community rallied around me. I went into surgery on Father's Day to have a Hickman port put in, and 12 men went to my hospital room from the Christian community who know they were there, and they prayed for healing for me. And then God actually gave me the strength and the grace to minister in the hospital. And I didn't do it because I felt like God was going to heal me because I did it. He just gave me the grace to do that. So I would walk down the hall and go into people's rooms that were being treated for the same thing, and I'd lay hands on them and pray for them. And I say that not, you know, to talk about myself. It's just God gave me the grace to do that. And there's two guys I remember, one in particular who I'll talk about. He was 20 years old. He was an identical twin, beautiful kid, big blue eyes. And I went down to his room to lay hands on him, and he had two girls in there, and they had brought him some literature that wasn't the greatest, and he just didn't really receive the Lord from me at all. And his friend stood in the hallway with me and wept, just wept. And, you know, you just don't know the impact you're going to have on people's lives. You know, several people I prayed for did receive, and I thought, you know, the power of prayer internationally. I had missionaries from China praying for me, one of my best friends. I don't know if you remember Eric Adolfson, Boo, but he would call me because it was 6 hours difference, and he would call me at like midnight, and when you're in the hospital and everybody's gone and it's quiet, and there's nothing going on but you and God, it's an amazing experience. And so he would have me hold the chemo lines and pray for healing. And people all over the world were praying for me, and I was healed, which is really an amazing thing. But I think about, you know, also I want you to think about this. I want you to think about when you share and encourage somebody, the impact it can have. Sometimes you don't know. I had a young lady in our church. She would like me saying that today, that she was young, because she was. And she shared with me 2 Chronicles 20, and I would encourage you to read it, because Jehoshaphat was facing a battle. And in there it talks about the battle is the Lord's, not yours. Okay, so when you're battling something, remember it's God's battle and not yours. So what he did is he humbled himself. He got on his face before the Lord. They fasted and they prayed. And he sent singers to worship the Lord, and God destroyed his enemies. So when you share something with somebody, I've held on to that scripture for 14 years, and I'm really, really grateful for that, and I want you to remember that. You know, and sometimes, I didn't know if God was going to heal me or not. I believed that he could, and sometimes, you know, Lazarus, when he was dead, he didn't have faith, but others had faith for him. And he was healed because of the faith of others. So I'm just overwhelmed, Larry, with God and his goodness and how big he is and how vast he is, and that he would take the time to care about each person individually. And if anybody in here is struggling with that, I would encourage you to ask people to pray for you and to believe that God can do a good thing. Because here I stand, everybody on my floor that had what I had died but me. I don't understand that. But what I do understand is that God had a purpose. And one of the things I was sharing with Larry when I had coffee with him, one of my prayers was, my son Sam is here, and Sam was 15, and Sean was 18, Heather was 22, I think, all in college and private school. And I thought, Lord, I just want the opportunity to be a father to my adult children, because I never had that. I want to just praise God for doing that, allow me to be a father to my adult children. And Lord, I want to just praise the Lord for that. So I guess the takeaway is, you know, we have a great God. When I think about it, I'm just overwhelmed in closing with Jesus. Jesus, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And when I look at, in Colossians 1, verse 15, his supremacy, just read that today and think about, see, I see Jesus in everything, everything. The birds of the air, everything. And when I think about the doctors, Larry, I think about he gave them the ability.
Amen.
He gave them that to be able to create and to heal through medicine. Everything that we see in this room that's good is here because of the mind of Jesus. And many of you don't know this, but I love birds. And I have a bunch of bird feeders, and it's close to my heart. And I just see Jesus in the birds. There's 400 billion birds in the world. You know that? 400 billion. So I just get overwhelmed with Jesus, and I would just encourage you to see Jesus in everything, everything. So give the Lord a hand of praise.
Amen. Thank you, Rob. Bless you, buddy. Great job, buddy. Love you. Amen. Because you never know what God's going to do. And aren't you glad he is faithful? He's made some promises that sometimes we don't understand how they come to pass. But I'm telling you, you have to trust God with what you don't understand. You have to. I was reading this book the other day, and Booker T. Washington, I think I got the name right. I might have it wrong. Who's the peanut guy? Elaine, you know that. Yeah, that guy, George Washington Carver, he looked up into heavens and he said to the Lord, Lord, I want to understand the universe. And the Lord says, that's a little big for you. You'll have to wait on that one. He went to some other thing that was kind of amazing and majestic, and the Lord gave him the same answer. That's a little big for you. He says, and then one day the peanut caught his attention and he said, Lord, I want to understand the peanut. 300 inventions later, God answers his prayer. It's a beautiful little story. Listen, there are some things God does not mean for you to understand. And there are some things he flings the door wide open for you. And one of those things is Jesus. Pay attention to Jesus. But this is what I've known and what I've learned through my life is my attitude can determine my spiritual journey. My attitude can sabotage what God wants to do in my life. And it's what is the other day, we're on this boat, you know, and cruising Alaska, and we're having a fun time. And there was this little thing they invited all the ladies to. And Linda says, I'm tired, which made me think. We miss a lot because we're tired. And I thought to myself, Linda, we're on a cruise. We're with these people you'll never get a chance to meet again. And you're going to let tired win? I don't know about you, but I don't want to let tired win. I can sleep next week. Don't let tired rob you of a spiritual journey that God has for you. Do you hear me? You know, I meet so many young people. I'm tired. I'm tired. What I want to tell you is this. Get off your phone. Go to bed. So you'll have some energy to serve God with. Don't let I'm tired rob you of what God has for you. Amen. Sometimes you have to work through your tired. Amen? Anybody ever done that? Yeah. And here's the other attitude that sometimes you can have is, I don't have enough money. You can be wise financially, but there are some things you'll never have money to do. Can I tell you, you'll never have money to have children. You'll never have enough money to say, okay, it's fine to have children now. It just ain't gonna happen. There's no way in the world you're gonna have enough money for that. You just gotta, by faith, step out there, have a few children. Enjoy life. My dad was in the service. There was three of us. He had four stripes, didn't make a whole lot of money. We had fun at our house. We had a lot of bacon and eggs and pancakes for dinner. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have a whole lot. My mom couldn't drive. We had one vehicle. And my dad chose a Ford pickup truck. Five people. Two-door Ford truck. We all five crammed in there. Seatbelt laws didn't exist. And then he got a camper, and two of us had to get in the back in the camper while we drove down the road. What an adventure we had. And we didn't wear hard hats to do it. I'm just telling you, there are some things you won't have money to. You just do it. Amen? You know, I didn't have enough money to get married. I was graduating from Southeastern University, had been in school for 4 years, just a broke college student, and I was going to ministry to a church where they're going to pay me $200 a week. And after 6 months, they cut my pay in half. I didn't have enough money to get married. 4 weeks after graduation, I was pastoring that church with a bride that I'd been married to for 2 weeks. I was 23 years old. Snot running down my nose, trying to pastor a church. You know what I know? God is faithful. God is faithful. You'll never have enough money. Steps of faith require faith. Not money, not wisdom, not ability. They require faith. God, give us more faith in the house. We need faith. You'll never have enough money. As a matter of fact, you will have a poverty mindset where you'll live below what God wants you to live. Here's another thing you'll never have enough of. You'll never be smart enough. I hope not. Because there's something about knowledge that makes you hungry. Because I believe behind all knowledge is God. And the more you pursue knowledge, the more you're pursuing God. We need smart people, but we don't need smart people without God. We got enough of those. We need godly wisdom in this world. Amen? Here's another thing for you single people. You don't have to have a spouse to succeed with God. You don't. Sometimes we just think we got to have something before we can move on. No, you don't have to have anything but Jesus. He will take you where you need to be. Amen? Here's the other thing that'll rob you, an attitude that will rob, comparing yourself to others. The Bible tells us not to do that. We should not compare ourselves to others. Well, he's so much smarter than, she's such a greater preacher than I am. She's such, we always try to compare ourselves. That's the trap of the enemy. God created you, uniquely you. Don't try to be somebody else because you're sabotaging what God created. He created you to be you. You have to be you. Well, sometimes people don't like me. They'll get over it. It's okay to be you. Now, I'm not trying to be rude. Don't try to be rude to people. Don't try to be arrogant and prideful and all this other. Be humble and kind and gracious and merciful. I mean, you know, I think kindness is, whew, boy, do we need a lot more kindness in the world. And we have to model that. Yeah. You see, when you lack focus, you see, the scripture says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you're not careful, the strength of God will be overwhelmed by your limitations. The strength of God will be overwhelmed by your attitude. And you won't walk the way God intended you to walk. When you focus on your lack, faith is dismantled. And now you're living by the common rules. Can I tell you, we are called to the kingdom of heaven. And that kingdom of heaven is much as a reality in heaven as it is on earth. We live in a kingdom that will never be dismantled. I'm not talking about eternity. I mean, I'm not talking about just in eternity. I'm talking about right now. Because when you ask Jesus into your heart, the kingdom of God came and set up residence inside of you. That means you began to live with new principles, new ideas, new thoughts, new everything. Isn't that what the Bible says? Yes. In Luke 21, verse 29 through 34, it says this. And then he told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happen, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Verse 34, listen, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life that today will close on you suddenly like a trap. He's talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying when you see wars and rumors of wars, he's saying when you see all this pestilence and disease, he's saying when you see all these things, be careful. Be aware of the season. You know when summer's coming because the leaves sprout. Pay attention to this. Be careful how you live. You and I need to be careful. Amen? He says this, or your hearts will be weighted down. What's he talking about? First thing, we're good at the first two, he says. Carousings. You know, be careful where you pay your attention. Don't go playing with sin. Don't get involved in sin. Stay away from darkness. Well, it's okay, Pastor Lee. I'm a good guy. Listen, good never got anybody to heaven. Do you understand that? Just because you're good doesn't mean you got your ticket punched to heaven. The only way to get to heaven is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to get to heaven is to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that God raised him from the dead. It's not about being good. It's not about doing all this right stuff. It's about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an act of faith where you say, I'm a sinner. God is right. I need Jesus. His only begotten son died on the cross for you, and you have to repent to go to heaven. Well, I don't know if I believe that way. I don't know if you cannot afford to trust what his word says. Do you hear me? Because one day the scripture declared, and we read it, his word will not pass away. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you want to trust a philosophy, a guy who died and didn't rise? You want to trust a philosophy that's been around for millions of years, or hundreds of years, I wouldn't say millions, hundreds of years. You want to trust that the end product of that is they're cutting people's heads off? There's a reason why Scripture says he is the way. There's a reason why Scripture says I am the door. He's the good shepherd who takes care of us. There's only one way to heaven. And Jesus declared that. Jesus declared it. Yeah. And he says this, don't let your get weighted down. Don't do carousings and don't drink. Don't get drunk. I just came off a cruise ship. People on cruise ships live for the unlimited bar. It's quite sad. Talking about missing the whole cruise, except for the ice in the bottom of the cup. It's sad. I don't know about you, but listen to me. If I'm the enemy, I want to keep you drunk all your life. If I'm a politician, I want you smoking as much marijuana as possible because you won't have enough sense to vote. I mean, that's the society we're moving toward. You should understand that. Wake up and understand we are not in heaven. And the Bible said it's going to get this way. It's going to get this way. And then he says this, don't do carousing, don't do drunkenness, and don't let anxiety well up on you. Oh, no. Now we're in trouble. Because now I'm worried about everything. You know, I'm worried about whether there's gas in the car, my keys, I can't find my glass. I'm just worried, worried, worried. We live worried. There's a lot of money in worry. Can I tell you, you and I can be at peace. Because we know the author of peace. Isn't he awesome? We belong to a kingdom of God, a kingdom that will never end. Can I tell you, he knows where your keys are. Huh? So this is how God blesses me. Ready? This is how God blesses me. We're sitting in the airport of Dallas, and they make this announcement. If anybody would like to take the next flight, we'll give you $500 credit. Baby, we got time. Few minutes. If anybody has would like to catch the next flight, we're offering $600 per ticket. If anybody, the announcement comes. If anybody would like to make the next flight, we're offering $700. Baby, I think we can wait a little bit. I went to the counter. Well, listen, Mr. Perry, I'll give you $600. You fly out an hour later. $600 per ticket? Yeah. Okay, sign me up. God knows how to bless you. He will take care of things. He will take care of things. Think about it for a moment. Just think for a moment. Just for a moment. God wants to bless you, and the enemy wants to rob you. Matter of fact, the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And there are certain things that God wants to do, and there are certain things the enemy is happy for God not to do them. And sometimes believers are guilty of adopting Satan's strategy. Now, I have known in the past people who really believe this, Christians, real Christians who say these things. Oh, and they're really doing Satan's bidding. Ready? So you can just kind of work backwards just a little bit for me. Did you bring your steel-toed shoes? You don't get that joke, do you? I'm not sure if I want the church to grow or not. I've actually heard believers say that. Can I tell you, that is not God. That's the devil. And when you say that, you're playing to the devil's hand and card. Because the devil doesn't want the church to grow. The devil doesn't want the church to succeed. The devil doesn't want the gospel to go forth. The devil, and when you say, think about that for a Christian buried and immersed in the kingdom of God, would dare to say, I don't want the church to grow. You're doing the devil's work. You're doing the devil's bidding. Because I'm going to tell you, God wants his church to grow. He does. The enemy, Satan, does not want the advancement of the kingdom of God in your heart. What do I mean by that? He wants you to keep your heart cluttered with past sins. Anybody ever had that trouble? Huh? Past wounds? Can't seem to. Can I tell you, God knows how to forgive us from all our sins. And where are they? The scripture declares they are in his sea of forgetfulness. That means he remembers them no more. Hallelujah. But the enemy wants to clutter your heart with everything you've ever done wrong. Every stupid thing you've ever said. From everybody that owes you money. Can you remember that guy that owes you $10 from 1984? He wants to clutter your heart with junk and not the kingdom stuff. He wants your kingdom ruled by the principles of the flesh. He wants your kingdom, your heart ruled by the principles of ambition. He wants your heart ruled by emotions. I don't feel good today. Can I tell you, you can talk yourself into not feeling good? I choose to be happy today. Amen. This is going to be a great day. Happy Father's Day. It's going to be an amazing day. Choose to be happy. I don't feel good. Get over your feelings. Here's what you need to practice. Stand in front of the mirror and smile. Just smile. Practice smile. Can I tell you, it's a proven fact. People that smile are happier, and you can be happy by just smiling. Convince me. I know that to be true. You see, because the enemy knows if you start living the principles of the kingdom, you're free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Hallelujah. God came to set you free. You see, the enemy, here's the other thing, the enemy does not want you to serve in the kingdom of God with your life. He doesn't. God's kingdom advances through your serving. The kingdom of God, I'm going to say that again. The kingdom of God advances through your serving. If you're a believer, it's through your service the kingdom of God advances. We just let the preacher do it. No, that's not how the kingdom works. Others are blessed through your serving. So Satan's plan is to keep you so busy, you don't have time for kingdom service. It doesn't take much to be a kingdom servant. Hold a baby in a nursery. Ush. Greet. Park cars. I mean, it doesn't take much to be a servant. I don't know if I have enough time. This is what I know. You have time for what you love. You have time for what you love. So Satan's plan is to keep you too busy to serve. Satan's plan is to make you feel inadequate to serve. And you know there's a lot of better people than you. That's okay. There's a lot of better preachers than me. But I'm not going to let that stop me from being who God called me to be in his kingdom. There's a lot of better teachers. There's a lot of better this and a lot of better that. Listen, I need to be my best and you be his best, your best for his glory. Don't let your inadequacies keep you out of the game. Even Babe Ruth struck out more times than he hit it over the fence. You know what? I'm okay with that. Amen? Yeah. Here's the other thing the enemy does not want you to do. He does not want you to tie up your resources with the kingdom of God. He does not want you to tie up your resources with the kingdom of God. When you tie your little, it turns on God's blessing. When you sow little, it turns on God's blessing. It's an amazing thing how the tithe works. It's amazing how God's giving to God works. I don't like the church. All they do is talk about money. No, we don't. You just happen to be out here on a special day. A special day. And Jesus talked about more money than I will ever talk about money. You just read it. He talked about it more. Matter of fact, he watched a widow give in two mites and he stopped the whole thing. This lady gave more than everybody.
What do you mean, Jesus?
You see, in the temple, they had this thing. The more money you poured in, the more noise it made. You know what that means? It becomes a show of giving. And people would come in and just dump as much money as they possibly can and make all the noise. And here comes this widow with tick, tick. And Jesus stopped the show. This woman gave more than everybody. You see, it's not about the amount. It's about tying your resources to the hand of God, to the provision of God. And when you choose to give to the kingdom of God and what he is about, he will take care of you. He will. Your little becomes much. You see, Satan is content with you using all your resources on worldly advancements. Selfish ambitions. Luke 12:15. And then he said unto them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of a man's possessions. Can I tell you something? That doesn't mean God doesn't want to bless you. But it does mean this. Don't let the abundance of this world keep you from heaven. Entrap you into everything about this world. Satan wants you to use worldly possessions and principles to steward the kingdom of God. Well, this is the way the world does it. This is the way God does it. This way. We should work like the world does because the world does a better job. Can I tell you, we do not work like the world does. The weapons of our warfare are not money. The weapons of our warfare are prayer. The weapons of our warfare are the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The weapons of our warfare is his eternal word. The weapons of our warfare is the sacrifice of his sons. And that will lift up in the name of Jesus. As we lift it up in the name of Jesus, his kingdom will advance. Now, I'm not talking about not being smart. I'm not talking about not planning or providing. I'm talking about let's use God's principles so we can obtain his covering to advance the kingdom of God, that his name would be glorified. Amen. Here's the other thing. The last thing I want to bring to your attention that the Satan wants you to do is Satan wants you to tie your spiritual life to yesterday's victories. Satan wants you to tie everything to yesterday's victories because he don't want you to have anything new in relationship to God. Can I tell you, the scripture declares his mercy is new every morning. Can I tell you, the enemy does not want that for you. He wants you to tie all your spiritual life to everything that's happened 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 100 years ago. He wants you living on yesterday's gift and not today's blessing. He's content for you to have yesterday's experience. He loves it when nothing new is coming down your pipeline. We can get that way. When we forget to pursue him. Manna came down. They were in the wilderness. How many times did it come down? One a day for 6 days. And on the sixth day, they were gathered twice as much. Because the Sabbath, they didn't need to go out because they had to rest. So the first day, manna comes down. Scripture indicates they get out, they just load their bucket down. They're hoarding it all because you know how us creatures are. And everything they gathered from the previous day, when they woke up the next morning, stunketh. It stunk. Because manna was meant to be gathered every day. Jesus was tempted by the enemy. The first temptation is one of what? Appetite. After 40 days and 40 nights, he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. And the devil says to him, see that stone there? Turn it. Because you know it looked like a baked stone. A bread in Jesus' mind because he hadn't eaten. He knew. Turn that stone into bread and you'll have it all. It'll be good. And Jesus looked at him, the man does not live by the bread, but by the bread that comes from heaven. There came a day when the manna stopped. Can I tell you? That's when the church, you and I as believers, have had the hardest trouble is making transition between one period of God's activity and the next period of God's activity. Think about it. They were in Egypt. God delivers them from the Egypt, and they get back. They get in the wilderness. They get in the wilderness. Man has fallen, and where do they want to go? Back to Egypt. I'm sure there were people who got into the promised land with all the stuff that God was ready to do for them because, you know, now they got to fight for it under Joshua. And they're saying, I wish we could go back to the wilderness. At least manna fell. We have trouble when God is making transitions. Because sometimes God wants to pour in new things into our lives.